From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Skogman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth, you should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank
Woo!
You.
Yeah.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the sun, white sand beaches, palm trees, surf, and pina coladas in the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand, streaming, steaming.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 30th of October, 2017.
You have an incoming transmission.
Welcome. I'm your Spectrum 360 host, Mark Skogman.
And greetings to our listeners in Tampa Bay, Florida, and the United States. I'm co-producer and co-host TK Weeks.
Spectrum 360 is copyright 2017 by Mark Skogman. Copying and sharing the Spectrum 360 podcast for personal use is authorized and encouraged. On Spectrum 360, in this edition for Monday, the 30th of October, 2017. Well, well, well. Focus of this program is politics, music, and possibly a film. I will explain. Segment one, live in studio and recorded, the news summary from the last week. Since the last Spectrum 360 radio program, that includes the news summary itself and also some entries from this week in history. Yes, that's how we do it. And we're developing more and more this feature of the news summary called This Week in History. So we remember historical events from the past that happened this week in history. Get it? Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. So that's the news summary. Co-host TK Weeks will join me for that segment. That's going to be great. And then segment two, the future events calendar. Yeah. Hosted by co-host TK Weeks. She does a great job with that. So we'll hear about future events on the calendar. Am I starting to state the obvious tonight?
A little bit.
Oh. You know, you're not supposed to answer rhetorical questions. Okay. And then segment three, recorded the weekly Jim Hightower commentary for this edition of Spectrum 360 on the subject of Trump and war. Interesting. It will be interesting. I want you to listen for that segment, as always, because it's always very good, and we want you to listen to that. It's a good program. That's why we feature that every week on Spectrum 360, Jim Hightower commentary. Let's go to segment four after that, and that'll be an interview with Amos Mears. Amos Mears is the vice chair of the Pinellas County Democratic Executive Committee. Yeah, interesting and fun. So that'll be good. We love that. And he's going to talk about his attendance at the Democratic Party State Convention, which happened this last weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That was the 27th, 28th, and 29th of October in Orlando at the Disney Resort there. That's where they have it every 2 years. So I'll have information about that. And we'll also have another surprise guest, which we didn't have scheduled on the program, but we're going to have another person that was on as well, or there attending the convention. So we'll have a little surprise there as well. So that's segment four. And then if we have time, we'll do segment five, which is a recorded, the film preview audio of the new film, LBJ. It's about the 36th President of the United States, Lyndon Baines Johnson, as portrayed by the actor Woody Harrelson. That film opens this week on Friday, LBJ. So if we have time, we will briefly talk about that film and preview the film preview audio, or trailer, as it's sometimes called. So that's the program. So let's take care of some business. Break for a couple of minutes, and then we'll go right to segment one after that. Okay. All right. I think we can do that, can't we? But first, let's listen to this.
Just one other thing. I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk.
Thank you.
I feel better now. I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
He's brought us to the brink of nuclear war. Accused of obstructing justice at the FBI and of violating the Constitution by taking money from foreign governments and threatening to shut down news organizations that report the truth. If that isn't a case for impeaching and removing a dangerous president, then what has our government become? I'm Tom Steyer, and like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something. It's why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices together and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment. A Republican Congress once impeached a president for far less. Yet today, people in Congress and his own administration know that this president is a clear and present danger, who's mentally unstable and armed with nuclear weapons. And they do nothing. Join us and tell your member of Congress that they have a moral responsibility to stop doing what's political and start doing what's right. Our country depends on it.
Yes, there we go. That was a commercial advertisement that is being paid for and broadcast by Tom Steyer, who's a billionaire and very concerned about the effect that President Donald Trump is having on this country. You can go to needtoimpeach.org for more information about that. So let's go to segment one, and that's the news summary, along with This Week in History. And let's do This Week in History, just a few items from that, just briefly, so that we can get that done. Yesterday was October 29th, and October 29th is an interesting date in history for a number of reasons. In October 29th in 1877, it was the death of the Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who was a very skilled tactician and excellent military officer in the Confederate Army during the American Civil War, and also one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. He lived until 1877. Very interesting figure. If you study the American Civil War, he's a major figure in that because of how good he was at warfare and commanding troops, especially particularly cavalry troops during the American Civil War. Also on October 29th, in 1971, was the death of Duane Allman. That was the brother of Greg Allman, the two founders of the Allman Brothers Band, the Southern rock band that was so influential for decades. Of course, earlier this year, Greg Allman finally died. And his brother died in 1971. It didn't last long. Death of Duane Allman. But of course, before he died, he played with Eric Clapton on the Layla album, which was recorded at Criteria Recording Studio in Miami, Florida. So that was one of the legacies he left, as well as the Allman Brothers. And also, on October 29th in 1969, was the first link up of a computer to another computer using the United States military ARPANET, which was the precursor system to the internet that we know today. ARPANET in 1969, believe it or not.
Invent that?
What was that?
Did Al Gore invent that?
No, he did not invent ARPANET, and he did not invent the internet as well. He encouraged it. That's just a joke that's been ongoing because people exaggerated what he said, and it's become a running joke about Al Gore. But no, that was ARPANET, was not the internet. So those are three items from This Week in History. Interesting, huh? Okay, let's go to the news summary. And, oh my gosh. Last week, the day after the last Spectrum 360 radio program, which was, of course, last Monday, 23 October, the next day was Tuesday, 24 October, a United States Senator and Republican from the state of Arizona, Jeff Flake, went on the well of the U.S. Senate floor and made a very strong speech against Donald Trump, accusing of him basically of being unfit for office, and also announcing that he is not going to run for re-election as U.S. Senator from Arizona. He's the junior senator. Of course, the senior senator from the state of Arizona is John McCain. There's a lot of speculation that he will not run for re-election because he has a very aggressive form of brain cancer, glioblastoma. So, interesting development. Also, of course, Bob Corker has been very vocal and very public about his criticism of Donald Trump, and we need these people. And right about that same day started the NeedToImpeach.org campaign funded by Tom Steyer, which released the advertisement that we just played a few minutes ago. So, interesting. On Wednesday, it was 25 October 2017. There was a death of a musician. The death of Fats Domino. Oh, my gosh. Fats Domino, dead at the age of 89 in New Orleans, Louisiana. Fats Domino was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, and was a very influential musician. One of the early rock and roll musicians. He was a pianist, a piano player. He did more roll than rock is one of the ways that people describe his playing. Sold 65 million records in his career and became a very rich man. And he was a very wise man, too, and he managed his money very well. So he was an excellent businessman, an excellent musician, and also an excellent songwriter. He songwrote as a team and wrote many classic songs. So amazing career. And on the public radio program, National Public Radio, or American Public Radio, rather, a program, Sound Opinions, which is produced by WBEZ radio station in Chicago, there was a great segment. It was one of the best short audio biographies of Fats Domino that I've ever heard. And I have it posted on my Facebook website, on Facebook, facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program, Spectrum 360 Media, or Spectrum 360 Video. Look for it, and you'll find the link to that great short biography of Fats Domino. Just fascinating short documentary on him. Very, very good radio. And then, of course, also Wednesday, the U.S. Senate passed a bill preventing consumer class action lawsuits that would have prevented corporations from requiring that people relinquish voluntarily their constitutional rights to a jury trial and submit to arbitration in all cases, which typically disadvantages the consumer.
You might be familiar with this if you buy products. You'll see, if you read the fine print, that in the event of some defect, you consent to arbitration. It's put in the fine print of a lot of purchase contracts.
Yes, and I've been objecting to it for a long time because that's requiring corporations requiring you to relinquish one of your constitutional rights. I wanted to see this law pass so they couldn't make you relinquish your constitutional rights, and we retain them when we do business with U.S. corporations. And this
now, corporations have constitutional rights now, but we don't.
Well, no, they don't. But that's another that's another discussion. Mike Pence cast the last vote. This also victimizes veterans because there have been terrible, low-character financial institutions which have been victimizing veterans in terms of loans, etc. So this is an anti-U.S. veteran bill. Think about that. Also, Game 2 of the World Series, Game 2 with the Astros and the Dodgers, and on that day, the second game of the World Series went into 11 innings. It was quite a game. I didn't see it, but a lot of people were talking about it.
Kept my patience up late. Everybody was watching it.
And then on Thursday, there was a Fox News poll that was released that showed that Trump's approval rating in a Fox News poll, President Trump's approval rating is at 38%, down 4% since September. Oh, my gosh. And this just goes on and on and on. And, of course, on Sunday, there was speculation that on Monday, today, was going to be an announcement of the Mueller special counsel investigation indictment. And, indeed, it was early this morning. I was watching Morning Joe, and it was announced that the indictment was against Paul Manafort and, excuse me, and who was the other person?
It was Gates.
Yes, Rick Gates.
And
excuse me.
Papadopoulos?
And George Papadopoulos. So there's three people indicted, the first indictment in the Mueller-Russia investigation, and this is going to be a long process. It's going to involve long people, and we need to stay the course. We need to get these people investigated, prosecuted, and I believe that this will probably end. It's more and more likely all the time that this will end with the impeachment of Donald Trump and his removal from office, and we can only pray for that as he is a clear and present danger to this country. And the Spectrum 360 staff endorses the NeedToImpeach.org petition for impeachment and that organization and that effort. We thank Tom Steyer for it. We will be airing, broadcasting the commercial advertisement for that effort for free on this program. So, interesting. And also today was the death of Dennis Banks, one of the founders of the American Indian Movement. We would love to have done a segment on him, but of course, we did not have time before we got to the radio station because of other events that we covered tonight and other activities we were involved in to do a segment. But we wanted to mention his death in any case and perhaps do a segment on his life in a future program. Dennis Banks, dead today. So that's it. And then the highlight of the week for me, of course, was tonight in Clearwater at Ruth Eckert Hall, the Roger Daltrey concert. Oh, yeah. Roger Daltrey performed with the Who Band, which is basically the Who without Peter Townsend.
But with his brother? Was that his brother or his son?
Yes, his much younger brother plays in the band now as well. I don't remember his exact
Simon.
Name. Yeah, Simon. That's right. And so there was Roger Daltrey with the Who Band minus Pete Townsend, and he played approximately an hour and 35-minute set. There was an opening band, which we did not see, and played a great concert. He's in his early 70s, and he's still very good.
I was amazed at how good his voice still was. A lot of these older singers that you know, the years of wear and tear on their voice have really taken a toll, but he still had it.
Yes, he's just excellent. And I'm going to, this is a Spectrum 360 exclusive. This is about 35 seconds of sound from a video that I recorded at Ruth Eckert Hall tonight, so you can hear it on Spectrum 360. This is Roger Daltrey tonight from Ruth Eckert Hall. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Let me go to the correct video here. I'm sorry. That was my mistake.
That was him talking about a charity that he's begun with treating teens with cancer.
That was the charity video. Yes, I made a mistake here. Let me correct that. This is Roger Daltrey performing Who Are You at Ruth Eckert Hall in Clearwater tonight for about 35 seconds. Roger Daltrey, Who Are You at Ruth Eckert Hall.
Who are you?
Okay, that was Roger Daltrey. That's a Spectrum 360 exclusive directly from the concert. Wow. I love it. Excellent, excellent, excellent. So good and so enjoyable. You can look for my other posts of still photographs and some other videos on Spectrum 360 Media, Spectrum 360 Video, and Spectrum 360 Radio program at Facebook, and they'll eventually show up on Spectrum360Media.com as well. Okay, well, let's go to these future events calendars so we can get that done with co-host TK Weeks leading the charge. I wanted to just thank TK Weeks for doing such a great job in this segment every single week. She is just wonderful with this, and she's been doing a great job, and I just wanted to recognize her for doing the great job that she is doing. Co-host TK Weeks with the future events calendar.
Okay, Wednesday, November 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Seminole Heights Branch Library, 4711 North Central Avenue in Tampa. The Restorative Justice Coalition is hosting a forum on police reform. Join them as they discuss their comprehensive demands to improve the Tampa Police Department, including cultural competency, body cameras, an autonomous civilian review board, and use of force training. Any questions, you can call D'Angelo at 813-777-0742 or admin at restorativejusticecoalition.org. Do you love books? Here's an event for you. Thursday, November 2nd from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Hawthorne Bottle Shop, 2927 Central Avenue in St. Pete, Books and Brews. In honor of the Tampa Bay Times Festival of Reading, TBT is celebrating literature and liquid courage at the Hawthorne Bottle Shop. Bring new and used books to the Hawthorne on November 2nd for a traditional book swap. Have you ever been to a book swap? Well, it's easy. All you do is dust off books you've already read, won't ever read, or you want to share. You bring those books to the event, and you'll be able to take as many books as you brought to trade. Attendance is free, and beer and wine will be available for purchase. And by the way, the Times Festival of Reading is November 11th, so save that date. Also Thursday, November 2nd, from 9:05 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the radio, on our very own WTAN, is a health insurance update. The time is here yet again. It's open enrollment for both Medicare and the Affordable Care Act insurance. Tune in as experts are going to discuss the latest news about both health insurance programs. They'll highlight important issues and financial considerations for the start of 2018. Check it out live on the radio or online, WTAN. Thursday, November 2nd through Sunday, November 5th at 5010 81st Avenue North in Pinellas Park is the Pinellas County Fair, which I've never been to. But it features the best of Pinellas County. It's an all Pinellas County Fair organized by volunteers to benefit and promote our county's youth, agriculture, horticulture, and community resources in one amazing annual event. Join him this year for pig races, sword swallower, Dan Meyer, Herman's Royal Lipizzan Stallions, vendors, exhibitors, live music, food, and more. And of course, it is kid friendly. Yet another event on Thursday, November 2nd. At 8 p.m. at the Community Cafe, 2444 Central Avenue in St. Pete, Healing, free LGBTQ support group. Come and join this free LGBTQ support group at the Community Cafe. It's going to be meeting the first and third Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. It'll be a safe space to talk and connect to your community and to give and receive support. Saturday, November 4th from 12 to 2 p.m. at the Sanderland Center. 2335 22nd Avenue South in St. Pete. Bernie and Hillary, the future of the Democratic Party. Join the South St. Petersburg Democratic Club for a lively discussion followed by a brief business meeting. The topic evolved from their August meeting where many members wanted to explore this question. What are the next steps? How can they build bridges within the party? How can we better define the Democratic Party? And much more. So you're invited to come and bring your concerns. Saturday, November 4th at 11:30 a.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 100 Mirror Lake Drive North in St. Pete, the amazing Nina Turner will be speaking. If you've never heard her, you need to go. She is amazing. Her courageous stand as a DNC insider turned Bernie Sanders from president surrogate shows Nina is a woman of character and vision, and you do not want to miss her inspirational energy. If you can't make the St. Pete event, you can catch her at 1:30 p.m. at Bounce Boy, 5008 East 10th Avenue in Tampa. Suggested donation for both events is $10. The events are hosted by Progressive Democrats of America, and all proceeds will go to getting progressives elected. Go to the Progressive Democrats of America Facebook page to get your tickets in advance, because I think these are going to sell out. Also, Saturday, November 4th from 10 to 4 in the historic Kenwood neighborhood of St. Pete is Bungalow Fest. Southwest Florida's premier architectural home show is returning for its 19th season. It's an exciting inside-outside experience, exploring the architectural diversity and showcasing 11 homes, spotlighting the urban rebirth and the phenomena of living large in small spaces. You'll see Craftsman bungalows, Tudor, four-square, mid-century, modern homes. And the tour also includes the first public art installation of the artist enclave of historic Kenwood. Check-in and registration will begin at Seminole Park on the corner of 29th Street North and 3rd Avenue North. You can stroll or you can use the continuous free trolleys to transport you through the neighborhood and view the select tour homes. Tickets are $20 and available online at www.bungalowfest.org or at Craftsman House Gallery, 2955 Central Avenue, or you can get them in the day of the event. For all you counterculture types, November 4th, Saturday again, from 2 p.m. to 4 a.m. November 5th, and remember, we're gaining an hour this week, at the Blueberry Patch, 4923 20th Avenue South in Gulfport, is Burning Brother 15. This year's theme is the Radical Ritual. You're invited to go and create rites, processions, images, shrines, icons, temples, and visions. Come and experience the immediacy of play and be prepared to travel in time. If you have art you would like to have placed at the event, send them a message. Costuming, gifting, highly encouraged. You can find the Blueberry Patch on Facebook, and every event there is a unique experience. Sunday, November 5th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Three Daughters Brewery, 222 22nd Street South in St. Pete, is Creative Play Fest. This is the event that was formerly known as Folk Fest St. Pete. It's in its 11th year, and it features art, live music, craft beers, and food from great places like Bavaro's and Local Market, just to name a few. And this year, Creative Play will feature not only prominent regional folk artists, such as Missionary Mary Proctor and Don Stone, but also local artists such as Chant the Trees, Ella Jett, Future Soul, Dean Johansson, 24 Hour Man, Have Gun Will Travel, and Rebecca Pulley and the Reluctant Prophets. Best of all, the festival was created to draw good folk to the mission of Creative Play and to raise funds to support this community-minded art center for people with disabilities. So come and see or purchase folk art from the folk artists around the Southeast. Meet the folk artists of Creative Play. This is one of my favorite events of the year. I'm going to be there, so hopefully I will see you there too. And that's it for this week.
Carlos TK Weeks, thank you so much for that Spectrum 360 future events calendar. Wonderful. We're trying to set up for the next segment here. Barbara, if you can hear my voice, will you please call the station again? 727-441-3000. Thank you very much. We got disconnected. I want to reconnect your call. So please call again. And we'll be on with segment four in just a moment. We're just going to go to segment three for just a couple of minutes and get that done. And then we are going to go to our interview with Amos Mears. So let's do this. Get that taken care of, and then we'll go right to our next live segment in just a moment. And this is Jim Hightower. You're going to love this one. Here we go.
In June, our Tweety Bird president tweeted this message to members of the U.S. Army. Proud to be your commander-in-chief. Actually, Trump is only the delegator-in-chief, having passed to subordinates a president's most solemn duty of guiding our nation's war policies, including what wars to be in. For example, he's turned the mess in Afghanistan over to the military brass, apparently hoping he can wash his hands of responsibility, then blame the generals if things go wrong. Leaving specific battlefield tactics to military professionals is one thing, but deciding to expand a war is a presidential burden, as is the duty of fully explaining to the public why more war is warranted. Just as he evaded military service during the Vietnam War, Commander Trump is shirking these basic presidential duties today. He's letting non-elected generals decide to hurl another 4,000 of our men and women into the Afghan War with no explanation of how adding these troops to a losing war effort will make any difference. We've already spent 16 years, the lives of 2,304 American troops, and more than $1 trillion on this war. So it's especially maddening that Trump's designated deciders have no new strategy for winning, won't tell us how many more years and lives they intend for us to spend there, and can't even explain why America is still in Afghanistan. Ironically, by refusing to make decisions himself, the waste of lives and money will continue, turning the Afghan debacle into Trump's war. This is Jim Hightower saying, at last, though, a bipartisan group of House members, led by Republican Representative Walter Jones of North Carolina, are saying enough. No more money to finance the Afghan political and military mess unless Trump or whoever is in charge can tell us why it's worth more of America's blood and treasure to be there.
Need an antidote to the progressive blues? Want some good news about how grassroots folks are rebelling against the corporate powers and winning? Well, here's an easy-to-swallow pill for you, the Hightower Lowdown. Hightower's monthly newsletter will give you the lowdown, even as it lifts you up. It's 4 pages a month, jam-packed with facts you can use, actions you can take, and Jim's own Texas humor, all for only $15 a year. To become a lowdowner, go to HightowerLowdown.org.
He's brought us to the brink of nuclear war. Accused of obstructing justice at the FBI and of violating the Constitution by taking money from foreign governments and threatening to shut down news organizations that report the truth. If that isn't a case for impeaching and removing a dangerous president, then what has our government become? I'm Tom Steyer, and like you, I'm a citizen who knows it's up to us to do something. It's why I'm funding this effort to raise our voices together and demand that elected officials take a stand on impeachment. A Republican Congress once impeached a president for far less. Yet today, people in Congress and his own administration know that this president is a clear and present danger, who's mentally unstable and armed with nuclear weapons. And they do nothing. Join us and tell your member of Congress that they have a moral responsibility to stop doing what's political and start doing what's right. Our country depends on it.
And once again, that is a commercial advertisement for Need to Impeach, which is being funded by Tom Steyer. We are playing that commercial advertisement on this program multiple times and will be in the future as well for free to support the Need to Impeach effort. Go to needtoimpeach.org for more information on that. Spectrum 360 has taken an editorial position. We are supporting the impeachment of Donald Trump, and we suggest that you check out that website and support that effort. Okay, I want to play just briefly one thing before we go to the next segment. And this is something that I just found just kind of bizarre. This is Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump from 2016. He was the original campaign manager. Here's what he said on Fox News this week. I mean, this is really kind of unbelievable.
The dam is breaking. We're never going to hold the water back. Give me a break, okay? Look, the speculation is so insane right now. What we should be focusing on are the continued lies of the Clinton administration.
But it does strike me that in the last few days, at least Fox News seems to think that's where I live in the White House.
Can you believe that? Unbelievable. TK Weeks, your comments before we go to the next segment?
I don't even know what to say. Yeah, let's ignore the treason in the White House and focus on Hillary Clinton, who's now a private citizen.
He said Clinton administration.
Oh, let's go back to the 90s.
No, he's not talking about the Bill Clinton administration. He's talking about Hillary Clinton as if she won the election and she's president. He's talking in a present tense about the Clinton administration. That's what made so funny what Hillary Clinton said.
Oh, wow.
In response to that, he said Clinton administration. It's like they're attacking a presidency. I think they still think that Barack Obama is president and they can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. Really ridiculous. Anyway, let's go to segment four, to our live interview with Amos Mears. And we have a surprise guest as well. I'm going to have Amos introduce who he had call in tonight. It was a surprise guest, and we appreciate them being on. Amos, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. And can you please introduce the other person that's on the phone here with us tonight?
Yes, it's our Pinellas County District 67 Chair, Barbara Scott.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, very good. We have the phones working now. I apologize for the technical problems before. Everything's working fine now. Which is good. Just in time to have you on the program. So let's get started. Amos Mears, you're currently the vice chair of the Pinellas County Democratic Executive Committee, which operates the Democratic Party in Pinellas County, which includes the city of St. Petersburg. And you were at the Democratic Party State Convention. Now, I know you had a specialized function there. Please describe that, because I know that basically restricted what you were able to do at the convention because you were devoted to this task. So just start from there and just tell us what you were doing and give us your overall perspective. And then we're going to go to Barbara for a little bit more information because I understand that she saw things that you didn't. And we appreciate both your perspectives tonight on the program. So Amos, go ahead.
Sure. Yeah, thank you for having me. And this year there was a new function at the convention, actually conference. I'm not sure the difference between the convention and conference, but every 2 years it's a conference and then every other year it's a convention. You might know more about why that's why they're labeled that way. But however, this year it being a conference, they added a component that they have not had before, which was a resolutions committee, and delegates to the conference could submit resolutions that were either issue-based or commemorative of a Democrat, and anything that had to do with endorsing a candidate, anything that affected bylaws, things like that were off the table. So anything that was basically a statement of to come up with a statement of principles, so it had to be issue-based or commemorative. So this allowed all delegates to submit a wide range of resolutions based on 8 topics or categories. You can submit anything that is issue-based. It had to be resolved by the Florida Democratic Party. That was part of the caveat, because that's the organization we're working from. So anything we're proposing is something that the Florida Democratic Party would be able to push forward, whether it's something that would become push for legislation or something we would help candidates get elected with.
Yes.
But it's a statement of our current principles. So delegates submit any number of resolutions they want through this process, and topics range from jobs, where's my list here, jobs, schools, criminal justice, health, environment, voting rights, good government, immigration, and then during the process, we actually added a category based on the submissions of equality. So although that's not reflected in the when you read the resolutions, you just read them as a resolution, but that was kind of the categories that we were organizing them into.
Yes, understood.
So I was working on doing an effort as we went into it and crafting some resolutions. And in that process, I got alerted, or now it was announced that I was appointed to the resolutions committee. So that actually allowed me to be on the committee to hear the resolutions. So that was a very interesting process. It was a very diverse group of people. It was all appointed by our state chair, Stephen Battelle, and he did a really wonderful job working with, which was known formerly as the executive director, now called president, Sally Boynton Brown. They put together a really good team of diverse backgrounds representing every demographic in our party. And just to illustrate how diverse it was, there was a person on that committee that actually was part of the lawsuit against Stephen Battelle. So he even allowed somebody, he chose somebody that actively put something forward challenging his seat as a chair. So I thought that was pretty impressive. I found that out after the committee was over, and that gentleman actually, I sat next to him, and he did a really wonderful job. So I was a part of this committee, and it convened Friday morning, and we had until the next day around before 3 p.m. to have a final document in the hands of the delegates in order for them to vote on the final package around 3:30 that Saturday afternoon. So a very short amount of time. We had 44 submissions.
Interesting.
Before we convened, there was a survey process. So in general, this conference was very participatory and inclusive compared to what people describe past conferences to be. So one, delegates were able to submit ideas. Then delegates were able to vote on a survey which of the top 14 they wanted to focus on, which gave some direction. We didn't follow that to the letter, but it gave us an indication of where the interest was at to help us in our decisions. And the first day after our very first session, there was a hearing where delegates can come before the committee and speak for or against any of the submitted resolutions. And that was very informative. A lot of people spoke, a lot of ideas to help either make resolutions better or tell us why they supported certain things, tell personal stories. And that was very, very helpful to me. And then we then convened again after that and whittling down 44 resolutions into 15 in a very short period of time was a pretty intense process.
I bet it was. What are some of the highlights of the resolutions that were passed?
Healthcare is a human right.
Yeah.
Florida Democratic Party resolved that healthcare is a human right and guaranteed for all Floridians. In general, this isn't a platform, but it kind of mirrored the DNC platform process in a way. And as a matter of fact, all the issues had to be in line, equal to or greater than the DNC platform. And I was reading a post by Michael Slasko, progressive out of Sarasota, and he was saying that the platform is even more progressive than the DNC platform. Oh, excuse me, the resolutions were more progressive. So, healthcare is a human right. We talked about voting rights. One person, one vote is a fundamental democratic principle. They touched on gun control. Let me look here, see. Immigration, there's some good, one of the big ones, talking about charter schools,
calling
for a moratorium on charter schools. That was, very important. Every one of these resolutions is almost equally important. I mean,
is there some place we can go to that people can go to have a look at them?
Yes, you can go to, so the Florida Democratic Party created a website for this conference and hopefully this will be up for a while. And I imagine they'd be building upon it, but right now it's abetterflorida.com, and that's the overall conference website. But then if you go /resolutions, you can click on a button there that will let you download the PDF or view it on the screen of all 15 resolutions plus two commemorative ones. So that's available there. And if you just go to abetterflorida.com, you can also just click on the tab resolutions.
Let's get Barbara Scott involved in the conversation here. Now, Barbara, you had basically more freedom than Amos did at the convention. What was your experience? Just tell us overall what happened and then give us the highlights for your experience at the convention.
Well, thank you for having me. And
you're welcome.
And the entire resolutions committee did really an amazing job, but it was... I went in, if you watch the news and everything like that, and everyone's like, oh, the Democratic Party is in disarray, and who's the leader of the Democratic Party, and, what do we stand for, and everything like that. Well, I can tell to all the Democrats listening right now, and even those who are not, no party affiliation and everything like that, the Florida Democratic Party has got it together. And it was inspirational, and overall the direction of the Florida Democratic Party is going back to getting in touch with our roots. And I think for a moment there that everyone forgot that, hey, if you want to build a movement, if you want people to listen to you, you have to have a really strong foundation. So a very strong emphasis on grassroots and listening to people, and just like what Amos said with the resolutions committee, that opening it up, that, it's not just the top that's going to say, what democratic values are. It's everybody, and the party is going to have a voice in what the values of the Democratic Party are. Steve Battelle and Sally Boynton Brown have done an amazing job of making sure that redirecting the Democratic Party, that it's inclusive, we listen, and, bottom line, you can have all the money, going into campaigns in the world, but if you don't have, if you're not connecting with your neighbors, if you're not building that sense of community, no one's going to listen to you.
Yeah, and that, I think, has been a little problem that the parties had in the past, a little too much top-down leadership.
Where
sort of an anointed candidate, here's who we've decided is going to run, and now you good little worker bees go out and work. And
right.
The good little worker bees kind of don't get inspired that way.
Absolutely, and that was a really big emphasis, too, that it's like, hey, we can't show up every 2-4 years and like, hi, remember us, you know, please vote for us. It's like an emphasis on, you know, being in the community, being involved in being a part of the community and helping people out, whether or not they're going to vote for you or not, but 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every single year.
So yeah, it's not just that. It's not just about, oh, here's the big election. Now we all have to come together and start working. The Democrats are always working. That's
right.
The message.
And it's like, and that was the message. And it was inspirational. Keith Ellison was, you know, amazing to hear from him. But I think that, you know, there are good and bad things that came out of 2016. I know for me personally, it was a wake-up call. It's like I've always, you know, voted. I would give money to campaigns, but I never did the work,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I was busy working, you know, family, life, and everything like that. And it was a wake-up call that you got to do the work. You got to show up, and you have to be talking to people and be a part of the community, even if you don't want, hey, I have, you know, nothing to sell you. I'm not trying to get you to vote for anybody. I'm here. I'm present because those are part of my values and part of the values of the Democratic Party. And, you know, you have to do the work. And it was just really inspirational. It was egalitarian. It was, you know, I like our chances next year in 2018. I like our chances in 2020.
That's good to hear. And you're a district chair, is that right?
I am.
So how are you going to...
Newly elected.
Congratulations. Yeah. And so you've got, I think, I would assume, big plans on how you're going to move forward from this point.
You know, getting out there and knocking on doors and, you know, like, you know, every month we get a list of newly registered Democrats. And we're actually, you know, had a... meeting of the Voter Services Committee, which we also have with the Pinellas Democratic Party. And it's like we're going to not only reach out to newly elected Democrats to get them to be members of the DEC, we're also going to take on people who are voting, who are registering no party affiliation, which is
a
the
lot
overwhelming
of people.
Trend in this county.
Especially
right now.
Younger
and
people.
It's like, yeah, and reaching out to them, it's like, hey, you know, chances are you're a Democrat.
You just haven't thought about it enough, right?
Right. And so, you know, I know in my district, it's like when I get that list every month of newly registered Democrats and now newly registered on no party affiliation, I personally handwrite a letter, a little note to each person. I put in my card and I mail it to them. And you know, like last month, I mailed out 17 of them, and I actually got 2 responses. People were like, oh, my God, I can't remember the last time I got a piece of mail that was handwritten out to me. And it's like, hey,
yeah.
You know,
that's a great idea.
Love to meet you. And you know, that's I will go knock on some doors. And, you know, I want people need to see a face and, you know, someone that they know that is part of their community. And it's like, I'm not here I want you to be part of the solution.
Thank you so much, Barbara, for your input. And Amos, we're coming to the last minute for this segment here. Any final thoughts that you can wrap up in about 30 to 60 seconds? Anything, any takeaways that you want people to remember?
Yes. What Barbara pointed out was with reaching out to all the voters and including MPAs, there's a lot of people that the MPA segment is growing. Republicans, Democrats are shrinking at the moment in that regard. And we have to ask ourselves why. Why are the if the Democratic Party is saying we are the party of the people, then what's the disconnect there? And one of the things that didn't move in the resolutions, but we got movement on as far as discussion, was talking about those things. Keith Ellison pointed out clearly we need to reach out to all MPAs. We need to reach out to Republicans that don't realize they're that really Democrats. And Jason Kandor said the same thing to the state executive committee. He said he comes from an open primary state in Missouri. And he said that we need to reach out to all voters. And if we have the right message and the right values, then we reach out to everybody and we get their vote.
Okay.
So there's...
Amos, we're coming to the end of this segment, so I have to end it there. Thank you so much to the two of you for coming on and giving us this perspective on the state party convention. And we're going to pick up more discussion of this and the Baker Kreisman campaign conflict here next week on Spectrum 360. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.